Starting at the top of Chavdal and Amad Aleph on the first line, Amar Rav Hoshaya, Hamafrish Shtei Chataot Achrayut, someone who separates out front two Chataot in order to protect, ensure against a problem with one of the Chataot, Mitkaper Bachat Mehem, obviously uses one of them for his Kapara to discharge his obligation, Bechavrata Ro'ah, and the other one goes out to grace to get a mum, and then to be monetized, comes Psulei HaMikdashim, and it's not the Mitah. So Aliba Deman, according to whom is he saying this? We have a number of Tanaim that have positions over here. According to which Tana is he making this statement? If you think it's according to Rabbanan, Hashta Mafrishli Ibud Amrei Rabbanan Labki Ibudomi. If you're Mafrish the animal up front, knowing that the possibility that it may be the Ibud, the Rabbanan say that's not called the Ibud Dami, Achrayut Mibai. In a case where up front it's clearly not the Ibud because you're doing it for Achrayut, why would you have to tell me that it's Ro'ah? That's because the Chachamim believe that even if you're mafrishe behema, even if your animal is lost at the time of hafrasha, and you're mafrishit li'ibud, meaning that you're taking it now to replace the one that is lost, and then that one is found, even in that case, the chachamim think that it's ro'ah. They only think that there's a problem when the animal remains lost at the time of kapara. But at the time of hafrasha, it would be fine. So in an instance where the animal is really lost, and you're mafrish the other animal to replace a lost animal, they still believe that both animals there, neither of them go to mitah, then certainly in the case up front, where it had nothing to do with ibud, and it was all done achrayut, they're not going to think it goes le mitah. So according to the Rabbanan, it would have been pashut. You don't need the statement of Rabbi Hoshaya to teach you that. So the other possibility is, ela, it must be aliba de Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, we saw before that Rabbi Shimon believes that he has the chamesh chatot le mitah, no matter what the circumstance is. Maybe over here, he would agree by Achrayut that it's not the Mitah. Maybe he would be more Mekil. It says, V'amar Rabbi Shimon, Chamesh Chatot Meitot. Doesn't Rabbi Shimon believe that Chamesh Chatot are Meitot, no matter what? And no matter what includes the case of Kipru Balim. Balim attain Kapara, irrespective of how they get Kapara. As long as it's a Chatat, Shikipru Balah, it is the Mitah. And he has no dispensations, he has no times that it's Ro'ah. And this is just a case of Kipru Ba'alah. Just happens to be that he started with it already knowing that, but that doesn't change the fact that in the end, one of the animals will go on the Mizbech, the other one will be a Chatat Kipru Ba'alah, and according to Rabbi Shimon, that is the Mitah, as we already established before, regards to Rabbi Shimon, that he believes the Chamesh Chametot across the board, period, without any exceptions. Ela, Aliba de Rabbi, must be according to Rabbi, who says that if it's lost B'Shat HaFrasha, then it is the Mitah, not only at the time of Kapara like the Rabbanon, but even at Shat HaFrasha, he thinks it's a problem. That's only if you're mafrish at the ibud. Aval b'achrayut, lo. But if it's done achrayut, he would not say that. It's not our Mishnah. Hamafrish chatat, very balat mum. Person's mafrish a chatat, and then it gets a mum in it. Mochra, umevi acheret tachta. He sells it off, monetizes it, and then brings a replacement. Rabbi Lezib, Rabbi Shimon Omer, im karva shniyah. If the second one was put on his beach, kodem shenish chata rishona. Before the first one that was Psulei Mukdashim was shechted, tamut. It is then subject to mitah. Shvar kipru ba'alah, because the balim already attained the kapara. Kasachadatcha, we thought that Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon karabi sphirle, that he holds like Rabbi. He's saying this within the position of Rabbi, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, the last line of our Mishnah, is what we're quoting over here. And fafilu b'achrayut nami. He would also go to mitah, which obviously would be a problem for Rabbi Hoshaya, because we just established Rabbi Hoshaya is explaining or qualifying the position of Rabbi. Now you're telling me that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah holds like Rabbi, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says there are times when the animal goes the mitah. Now, why is it, or how is it that we know that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would hold like Rabbi? So Rashi actually brings two lishonot here. Brings the first lishon, Karabi Svirle, Damur Avudab Shatafrasha. The animal's lost at the time that you mafrish the other animal. Meta, why? Because the Baalim attained kapara with another animal. And that would also explain the reason behind Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's position as to why he believes that even after it gets a mum in it and it's gone out to graze, you still would have a din of mita because nitkapru ba'acheret. The Baalim got kapara through another animal. And then that had obvious ramifications, which is in the case that we're speaking about here, by mafrish de'achrayut, it'd be no different. Since one of them is going to kaparat balim, since you're nitkaper b'achat, then the other one would go to mitah. And therefore, that would be a problem for Rabbi Hoshaya. So if we believe that the reason behind Rabbi's position and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's position is the same thing, which is nitkapru balim b'acher, and therefore the other one is mitah, The same would be true here, by Amafrish the Achrayut. Now Rashi over here ends with the words Lashon Zeh Pashut, that this language or this explanation is the simple explanation. There's a little Od Dalet from the Gro over there that says that that Lashon Zeh Pashut does not belong to the first explanation of Rashi, but rather to the second explanation of Rashi. Its own Kodoshim, on the other hand, includes it in the first explanation of Rashi. The truth is that neither of the explanations are easy or simple, but nevertheless, the Gra and the Shita Mekubetzet favor the second explanation, and its own Kodoshim favors the first explanation. The second explanation brought over here is that, just like Rabbi is Machmir and says that the din is if you're Mafrish, an animal, Makom Chatat, Abuda, then it has a din like an Abuda, which means, Amafrish li ibud ki ibud dami, and it goes the mitah, even though it itself was never lost. It was coming to replace a lost one. Nevertheless, it is the mitah. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon also says something similar, which is that even a behemah that was sold out to Chulin and was never lost, it also gets the mitah. Then certainly in this situation when you're mafrish, shtei behemot, achrayu, even though the second one was never lost, nevertheless, it'll be subject to the din of mitah. The two versions of Rashi, neither of which are very simple, but both of them are attempting to explain this havamino of the Gemara. Those are the two ways to explain it in Rashi. And then the Gemara says, no, you don't have to say it that way. Dilma Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon kabuas really. Why do you have to say he holds like Rabbi? Maybe he holds like Rabbi Shimon, his father. Damar chamesh katot meitot. So that would be the simpler way to go, that he's like his father, and that chamesh katot meitot, no matter what happens. In this instance also, even though it's now a balat mum, and it's been redeemed, it's still subject to mita, it's still subject to clawback for mita, because kipru balei abacher. And that's what Rabbi Shimon says. And then it would not undermine what we're saying in Rabbi's position, according to Rabbi Hoshaya. If you're going to Rabbi Hoshaya, Rabbi says that any time you're mafrish achrayut, it goes liro'ah. The one that you opt not to use goes out to graze until it gets a mum in it. That's because it's not the ibud. It was not mufrash the ibud. As opposed to the case where it's mufrash the ibud, where Rabbi would say that it is a problem and it goes the mita. So it's not the fish, ein chatat tzibur meita. So this goes back to what we discussed in yesterday's daf and 2 days daf ago, 2 days ago as well, that by the chatat of Yom Kippur, when you are mafrish, a replacement for the one that was lost, then it doesn't go to mita because a chatat tzibur doesn't go to mita. Ha, diachid mita. In the same situation, had it been owned by an individual, it would go to mita. What is the scenario? So it's a case, v'amar rav, balei chayim einan didachim. He believes that balei chayim don't get pushed out, don't get removed from their position as a kosher korban. What happened was you had two behemot that were using for the se'irim on Yom Kippur. The se'ir lazazel died, and now you have to bring a replacement. So you bring a new pair, you throw a lot on it, and then you replace the se'ir lazazel. So then, shumit kaper, b'sheni shebzug rishon mit kaper. When he is mit kaper, he uses the second one in the first pair to attain his kapara. Ve'idach, havalei lachrayut. And the other one is like it is for achrayut. Iktani, the yachid meita. And there you see that by yachid it would be meita. So again, this goes back to a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Rab. We'll speak about Rabbi Yochanan in a second. As to whether balei chayim are nidachim or balei chayim einan nidachim. When an animal is alive, can be pushed out, knocked out from its position as a korban. So in this instance, you threw lots on the seirim for Yom Kippur. You have a seir lazazel, seir lashem. And then the seir lazazel dies. What happens to the remaining seir lashem? Well, according to Rami, he says that balei chayim einan nidachim. You can't get rid of that. That animal is just fine right now, and you could use it to bring it as a korban. Now, when you say that you can use it as a korban, you still have to figure out how to replace the seir lazazel. You do that by throwing lots and bringing a new pair of seirim there, one lashem, one lazazel. So the one that is lazazel will replace the first one that is lazazel, because that died. The problem you have is that now you have two Sirim Lashem. You have the first one from the original pair, and then you have the second one from the new pair. And Rav says, well, Balei Chaim Einan Didachim. Balei Chaim don't get pushed out. So then when he's Mitkaper, B'Sheni Shebezug Rishon, he uses the first Sayur Lashem, Mitkaper. B'Idach Havalei L'Achrayut. The second one he took out, Sayur Lashem, is seemingly L'Achrayut. V'Tani D'Yachid Meita. And there it says D'Yachid's Meita. The assumption being that you could have used the first one, or you could have used the second one, but you chose to use the first one, or you can use the first one, as Rav says, because balei chayim einan nidachim. So it's the equivalent of having two animals available to you to do whatever you need to do, which is the seir lashem here. Since both of them are available to you, it's as if you're mafrish l'achrayut. Use one of them, then what happens to the other one is mita. you see here that when you're mafrish l'achrayut, that one of the animals goes to the mita. And that'd be a problem for Rabbi Shaya's position here, that mafrish techetayut achrayut, it's kaper b'achamem, chavetayam ro'ah. He says over there that the second one goes to ri'iyah. The shita mikubetz in here in Ot Chet says, what about Rabbi Yochanan shita? Rabbi Yochanan says that mitkaper b'sheni, shbizug sheni, you use the second one. You say ir l'ashem from the second pair in order to discharge your obligation. Rishon yamut, and the first one will be put to death. There, lo matzi mighty rishon, tenira b'shat afrasha b'shuv nitche. That's because according to Rabbi Yochanan, balei chayim are nidachim. And that means that the first one, since he was ra'uy at one point to be put on the mizbeach, and then got disqualified, now it's knocked out of the possibility of being used. That means you only have one option here. The only option is to use the second one. When you only have one option, that's not being mafrish le'achrayut. That's the equivalent of being mafrish le'ibud, because the first one was nitchet, it can't be used. When you take out the second one, you're basically damning the first one to death, because the second one is going to be the korban that you're going to use. You don't have the option to use the first one. And so that's why he says that that have a dichu yoter, you mafrish te'achata'ot. Dibitchila hifrisha hayudea she'achad mehem yitcheh. When you mafrish achrayut, you know one of them is not going to make it on the mizbeach. Over here, the first one you thought was going to go on the mizbeach, then it got nitcheh. Then you brought the second one, and that one does go on the mizbeach. So that first one that was roy, and you thought was going on the mizbeach, that's a dichu that's much greater than simply mafrish achrayut. And that's why it's not a stira for Rabbi Oshaya's position. But the way that we're explaining Rav right now, it is a problem for Rabbi Oshaya, because we have here the option to use either one of the animals, and you happen to use the first one, then the second one goes the mita. And that would be problematic, because Rabbi Oshaya says the second one goes the ro'ah. And even though, as the Balei Tosfot point out, on yesterday's daf, we said that this case, according to Rav, was the equivalent of mafrish li'ibud, and now we're calling it mafrish l'achrayut, that's because previously, we thought the case was that the first one was lost. And then when they were mafrish the second one, they thought that that one was going on to the mizbeach. And then they had or found the first one. And Rav says that the first one goes on the mizbeach. So there, the situation or circumstance was assumed to be that it was mafrish the ibud. Over here, the first one was there all along. We just had a problem because the Seir Lazazel had died. And we knew we had to replace it. But that means from the moment that you're taking the second one, you know it's l'achrayut. Because you never assume that it's really going on the Mizbeach, since the first one is going on the Mizbeach. And in that way, in each of the scenarios, we are asking the question based on what we think case is by Rav, in order to question the position of Rabbi Ava on the previous daf, that if you're Mitkaper Bavuda, that the other one is the Ri'iyah. And over here, we are setting up the situation to question Rabbi Oshaya's position, that I'm a Frish L'Achrayut, the second one is Ro'ah. In Rav's position, in both of the instances, we say that the second one here is the mitah, and both of those positions say it's the ri'iyah for the second one. But in each of the cases, we create a scenario in Rav's position that matches up to their case. By Rabbi Abba, it's mafrish li'ibud, and over here, it's mafrish li'achrayut. My answer is Rav l'tameh. Rav is the shituto, damar mitzvah birishon, that the mitzvah is to use the first one. So that means that you know, when you're already taking out the second pair, that you want to use the Seir L'Hashem that you had left over from the first pair. That means the Seir L'Hashem in the second pair, from the moment you're mafrishit, you already know it's basically the Ibud. It's not going to be used on the Mizbeach, because mitzvah is to do the Rishon, like Rabbi Yossi says. And so, given that you're going to use the first one, it's not like you're mafrish l'achrayut where you can choose between whichever one you want to use. Rather, you're going to opt to use the first one, and since you're going to opt to use the first one, the second one already is considered to be as if it was the ibud, and therefore it's going to go the mita. Whereas in a case that when you're mafrish achrayut, where either one of them is ro'oi, and the option to bring either one of them is equally available to you, in that case we would say that whichever one you pick goes on the mizbech, and the other one is the ri'iyah. On the other hand, the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it is, ki Rabbi Yossi belilo svirli, I don't hold the Rabbi Yossi, which basically simulates the same effect of what Rashi is saying is, he says, I don't hold like Rabbi Yossi. Since I don't hold like Rabbi Yossi, means that you have the option to use either the first one or the second one, which is the equivalent of achrayut. And since you have the option to use either one, in that case, it would go the ri'iyah. But the statement of the Gemara that it's the mitah is according to Rav, the view of Rabbi Yossi. And according to Rabbi Yossi, since you used the first one and not the second one it was already mufrash from the outset to a very problematic outcome, or basically the mitah. And that's why it goes the mita after you put the first one on the mizbeach. Tani Rav Shimi Barziri Kamei de Rav Papa. Avdo b'shata frasha the rabbi. According to Rabbi, if it was lost at the time that you were mafrish the other one, the new one, to replace it. According to Rabbi, meita. According to Rabbi, that one goes to be put to death because it's the case of avudah at the time of hafrasha, and that puts you to meita. Rabbonon, tireh. According to Rabbanan, that puts out to graze because only at the time of kapara is it meaningful. Avda b'shat kapara, it was lost at the time that you attained the kapara, the Rabbanan meita. According to Rabbanan, we saw already that it's meita. Now he says the Rebbe, ro'ah. According to Rabbi, it'll go out to grace. So Amarle, Rabbanan says back to him, kavachomer. Doesn't make any sense. Uma'o v'da b'shat hafrasha, dami Rabbanan ro'ah. And according to Rabbanan, if it was lost at the time that you're mafrishit, they think it only goes out to graze, and there Rabbi says, "I'm a Rabbi Meita." That Rabbi says that one is put to death. Avuda v'shat kapara. If it was lost at the time of kapara, the Rabbanan Meita, where the Rabbanan say that is the Meita, the Rabbi lo koshekein, then certainly according to Rabbi, that should be problematic and should go to Meita. Elatani ochi. This is the way that the Breita should read. Avuda v'shat afresha. If it was lost at the time that you're mafrish the new animal, the Rabbi Meita. According to Rabbi, it goes to the Meita. The Rabbanan, Ro'ah. According to Rabbanan, that still grazes because it didn't happen. It's not a chatash shekipru ba'aleha ve'acher. Whereas b'shat kapara, if it happens at the time of the kapara, it's missing when you put the first one on the mizbeach and then you find the second one, divrei hakol meita. Everybody holds in that case that it is the mita because, of course, if Rabbi thinks it's a problem but b'shat hafrasha, he certainly thinks it's a problem b'shat kapara, and the Rabbanan agreed that b'shat kapara, it is a problem because it's a chatash shekipru ba'aleha. But when it was Avudah, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, that was the last line in our Mishnah, and we just quoted it before from the Mishnah, that Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon believes that even Psulei HaMuktashim, even some Korban that has a mum in it, and you've redeemed it, if it's still around when you put the Korban on the Mizbeach, then that causes a problem for the Psulei HaMuktashim, and they become basically a Chatat Shekipru Ba'aleha, and it is Lemita. So he thinks that the clause of Chatat Shekipru Ba'aleha extend beyond just the, when you have two kosher animals in front of you, but even in the case where the animal is a balat mum and you've redeemed it, you can still have the ability to impact it with regards to being doing shechita on the one that you're getting kapara from. Now the Gemara brings a breita, which is interesting. Tarabanan, ein magilin b'yom tov. You're not allowed to flay an animal on Yom Tov in the way of Margilin. So there are two ways to flay the animal. One way is to flay the animal, which is the normal way that you'd flay an animal, is that you have it hanging, as we've seen many times in the pictures in Chulin, you have it hanging from its feet, and then you cut it straight on the belly side from the throat down to the legs, and then you pull away the skin and you flay the animal, taking the skin off the animal. That's one way to do it. When you do that, you get pieces of leather. You don't get one whole unit of leather. The other way to do it is Margilin is do it from the leg. You start with a round cut around the leg, and then you slowly work to cut it off and keep the entire hide whole. The reason to do that is that then you can use it as a flask, or you can use it as a bellow. Because since it's all whole, and you just tie up the holes at the ends, then you can use it to fill it with liquids, or you can use it to have air in it to compress the air for bellows for the fires. So that would be a harder way to go about flaying the animal, but gets you an output or a product that is much more expensive or more worthwhile. What the Breita says is that ein margilin b'yom tov. On Yom Tov, we don't allow you, even though you're allowed to shech the animal for Simchat Yom Tov because it's ochel nefesh, we don't allow you to do this type of flaying of the animal. Kiyotzebo, similarly, ein margilin b'bechor, can't do it with a bechor, and velo psulei muktashim, and not with a psulei muktashim. So obviously, the margilin b'bechor is a case where the bechor got a mum in it, and in all of these instances, we don't allow you to do this margilin. The Hagemar explains, Bishlama b'yom tov. I understand why in Yom Tov you can't do this. You're doing extra work which has no benefit on Yom Tov. To flay the animal in that manner is something that will benefit you in the long run, in the future, but as far as Yom Tov is concerned, it doesn't make it any more likely or easier for you to eat the meat. It might actually make it more difficult or less likely to eat the meat. So if that's the case, it doesn't have any benefit on Yom Tov. We're not going to allow you to make this extra effort on Yom Tov because it's not really for Ochel Nefesh. Ela Bechor Man Tano. According to whom do we say that a Bechor, that you can't take it off or you can't flay the skin in that way? Amar Rav Chisda, it must be Beit Shammai. It's got to be according to Beit Shammai. Da Amar Bechor B'Kdushatei Kai. who say that a Bechor remains Kadosh even after gets a mum in it. That's not Beit Shammai Umrim Lo Yumne Israel Ima Kohen. You cannot allow Israel to eat with the Kohen on a Bechor. So obviously, if it's a Bechor going on the Mizbeach, that's a Bechor Tam. In that instance, there's no question that Israel can't partake of it, because that's Matnat Kunat, that's ending up on the Mizbeach. It belongs to the Kohen. On the other hand, if you have a Bechor Baal Mum, where the Kohen is allowed to eat it, Bechulin, then the Kohen cannot invite Israel to join him. Beit Hillel says it's already Chulin once it gets a Mum in it, and then anybody can eat from it. Wherever the Kohen chooses to invite, he can partake in it with the Kohen. Beit Shammai says that's not the case. A Bechor, even after it's a Baal Mum, remains Kadosh. At least there's some residual Kedusha there, to the point where only a Kohen can partake of it, not Israel. And so, this is according to Beit Shammai, who says that even after the animal gets a mum in it, there's a retained Kedusha in it, which limits the capacity of Israel to eat it. Similarly, just like it limits the capacity of Israel to partake in it, it also limits your capacity to do certain things to the animal, including flaying it in this manner. That is because flaying it in this manner is either, we'll call it, uvdin dechulin, it is like activity that you would do to a behemat chulin, not to kodoshim, or, as Rashi says, damik avodah bekodoshim, otherwise it looks like you're doing avodah bekodoshim, or it looks like uvdin dechulin, or you're doing something that you would do to chulin, which Rashi terms in Bechorot to be a problem of bizayon kodoshim. It's just not right to do it or act that way with kodoshim. So that would explain the position in the Braita as to why it is that Ein Mergelin Bechor, because that's a Liba de Beit Shammai. Now, the Shita Miku Betzet in Ot Yud Gimel asks, V'chei Stat Satam La Antana Ke Beit Shammai? Why would the Mishnah make Beit Shammai the author of a position? So he says, Metzino Lo Meimar, D'Hachi Kamar, says, we could suggest this, that Bechor Asur Lahar Gil, Kamo Beit Shammai Umrim Da Asur, that the Bechor is Asur to do Hargala to it, similar to the position of Beit Shammai, that a Israel can't join the Kohen on it, that there's some residual Kedusha in it. It's a very difficult way to read it. He's saying that we're not necessarily holding like Beit Shammai, but we're using Beit Shammai as a paradigm of sorts to say that there is some sort of residual Kedusha here. That residual Kedusha doesn't necessarily have to be like Beit Shammai, but it might be up to the level where it would restrict you from doing Margilin on the Bechor, even though maybe you held like Beit Hillel. Although the Gemara sounds to be like it's saying it's according to Beit Shammai, and it's following this position of Beit Shammai, it's a Braita that compiles together three different opinions or three different Tanaim, which all come to basically the same conclusion about Ein Margalin in some type of animal. And so maybe it's just doing that, not because necessarily Paskin like Beit Shammai, but in order to create this idea that Ein Margalin be Yom Tov, Ein Margalin be Bechor, and Lo B'Psula Mekdashim. But now the Gemara wants to understand, P'Psula Mekdashim Mantano. Who's the author of the Psulei Makdushim position here that you can't be Margalin Otam? So, Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. So, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, not of our Mishnah, but the Tanya. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, in a Braita. Ayulafanav shtei chataot. He has two chataot that he could bring. Achat tmima, v'achat balat mum. One of them is, ro'oi the mizbeach, it's a tmima. The other one is a balat mum. So, it's obvious what you're doing. You're putting the tmima, tikarev. The tmima is going to end up on the mizbeach. Balat mum, tifte. And the Balat Mum will be redeemed. Nishkata Balat Mum, Achlo Nizirak Dama, Shel Tmima, as long as the Balat Mum was shechted prior to the Zrika Dam of the Tmima, Muteret, then the Balat Mum remains Muteret. Mishin Nizirak Dama, Shel Tmima, if the Dam of the Tmima ends up in the Mizbeach before you shech the Balat Mum, Asura, then it's problematic. So obviously the Balat Mum needs to be redeemed. It is Psulei HaMukdashim, it needs to be redeemed. Once it's redeemed, you're allowed to shecht it. When you shecht it is now impacted over here. If you shecht it prior to the matan dam of the actual chatat that's going on the mizbeach, the tmima, then it's fine. And you can eat that balat mum. It's not the mita, because it's not considered to be a chatat, shekibru bala. The other hand, if it is before you did the shechita on the balat mum, you get the dam of the chatat tmima on the mizbeach, in that instance, then the balat mum becomes a chatat, shekibru bala, and it goes out the mita. This is the shita of the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Afilu Basar Balat Mum Bikteira. Even if the Basar of the Balat Mum is in a pot, the Nizrak Dama Shel Tmima, and then you do Zrikat Dama the Tmima, Yotze the Beit HaSreifa. That meat goes out the Beit HaSreifa, it is a Chatat Shikipru Baaleha. or in essence, you can claw it back, even all the way down to the point where you've redeemed the Baal Atmon, you've shechted it, you're now cooking it in the pot, and still it's subject to a Chatat Shekibru Baal Leha, and it would be problematic if you get the Zrikat Adam done before you eat that Basar. So now, what's interesting about the Braita is it's not like our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, the Chachamim have no qualification like this. Mishnah Chachamim say, you redeem the Baal Atmon, you can eat it. That's it. There's no question of when you did the Zrikat Adam of the Tamimah or didn't do it. And even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah, it was only in a case where you got the dam of the Chatat on the Mizbeach before you did Shechita on the Baal Atmon, was it a problem. But once you shechted the Baal Atmon, it was fine. Over here, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says it's a problem even when it's in the pot all the way down. And the Chachamim say that it's a problem if you do it before you're shechting the Baal Atmon, which again, they didn't have in our Mishnah. Both of them are much more machmir in the Braita. So the Baal Tosafot tried to explain the difference between the case of our Mishnah and the case of the Braita. And he says, V'yesh l'chalek, Da'i de'matzniten kevin she'haitak var balat mum, kodem hafrasha zuzu, en alak dusha kolkach. So since the animal became a balat mum, and only after it became a balat mum did you mafrish the next one to replace it as a tmima, in that case the balat mum doesn't retain such a high level of kedusha. Of a hocha and the Braita, the hufshu l'achrayut, they were actually taken off together in the beginning as a backup, v'nireh shnehem makriv, and both of them could have gone mizbech, but then one of them got a mum in it. In that case, it has a higher level of kedusha. So that's how Tosafot says that Tosafot is mechalek, differentiates between our Mishnah and the Braita. In our Mishnah, you have a lower form of kedusha because the animal was a balat mum from the outset. It was a balat mum, and that's why you're taking off a second animal. So that balat mum never had the opportunity to go on the mizbech once the second animal was around, because it was already a balat mum. On the other hand, in the case of the Braita, they were both around at one point. They were both ready to go on the mizbech, but then that one of them became disqualified and became a balat mum. So since that's the case, it has a higher level of kedusha retained in it, and therefore even after it gets a mum in it, there's still clawbacks or abilities to declare it as a chatat shekibru bala, even according to the chachamim, if it happened before the shechita to the balat mum. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, even as far as being in the pot all the way before you eat it, then it's still problematic if the tmimah ends up on the mizbeach. So now the Gemara brings this and says, who is the author of that position, that psulei amuktashim? You're not allowed to do the margulin with it. That is Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Because you see, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon believes that psulei amuktashim retain a kedusha even when you're cooking them in the pot. So if they retain that level of kedusha, then obviously you can't flay them after you've shechted them already, and now you want to flay them in this way, that's still a problem of bizayon kodashim, or whatever other issues that we think exist when you're doing flaying in this manner, that would exist psulei kodashim. For the chachamim, it would already be nishchat. Once it's nishchat, there's nothing to speak about, because already it loses its status as kedusha, and just retains it as psulei kodashim. So now the Gemara asks, why is it that Rav Chista set up psulei kodashim and bechor under different authorship? Why can't you say that either both of them are Beit Shammai, or both of them are Rabbi Lazar bi Rabbi Shimon? That's what the Gemara says, Rav Chista lukma id v'idik Beit Shammai. Why is he set up both, the case of Psulei Mekdashim and Bechor like Beit Shammai? V'dilma ki amre Beit Shammai b'Bechor tukshem irechem. Maybe the reason that Beit Shammai believe that the Bechor retains Kedusha even after it gets a mum in it, is because the source of its Kedusha is min arechem. That's a higher level of kedusha. Maybe it stays longer. It has more residual effect. But psulei mekdashim, no. In the case of psulei mekdashim, where someone was makdish them, and then they got a mum in them, and they were redeemed, maybe it doesn't retain as high a level of kedusha, and they wouldn't think there was a problem of doing margulin. The lukma idi v'idi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. All right, so let's just say they're both like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Again, dilma kama Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, bipsulei hamukdashim. Maybe that's only, he says there's residual kedusha in psulei mekdashim, because they have a higher level of kedusha to allow you to redeem it. Remember, we've seen this in the past, that there is something that seems counterintuitive, but that the higher the level of the animal's kedusha, the more likely it is that you're able to redeem it. So the fact that you can redeem psulei mekdashim is indicative of a higher underlying kedusha. And maybe that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon believes that psulei mekdashim, even after you've redeemed them, even after you've shechted them, maintain a level of kedusha that can cause problems if you shech the tmimah before you've consumed the balat mum. On the other hand, by bechor it says lo tiftet, you're not allowed to redeem it. Maybe you can't redeem it because it doesn't have a high enough level of kedusha in order to allow for the redemption. That means it's a lower level of kedusha. That means when it gets a mum in it, the residual kshura will also be a lower level and maybe not be a problem to do the margilin on the Bechor. So that's why he separated out the authorship and made Beit Shammai the author of the position that Bechor is restricted in margilin, and thanks Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, the author of the position by Psulei Muktashim, that has that Easter of margilin. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, late lay had it none. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon not have what we saw in the Mishnah earlier? That all psulei muktashim can be shechted in the shuk, they can be sold in the shuk, and they can be weighed on a regular scale in order to garner the highest price possible, the best outcome in terms of redeeming the animal. We spoke over there that we allow that by psulei muktashim because the beneficiary is hekdesh there. You're going to use those monies to purchase a new animal, and the monies are going towards the mizbeach, towards hekdesh, and that's why we would allow you to be quote-unquote, mivazed the kodoshim, in order to garner a higher price. But before we don't let you do that, but with Bechor Maser, the beneficiaries are the Balim themselves. So they were not going to let you be mivazed kodoshim in order to garner a higher price. So now, given that Mishnah, what does Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon do with that? That's post-shechita, and him, according to him, post-shechita, the item is still subject to being covered by a chatat shekibru baleha, and it can get ruined. Yet over here we're saying that psulei muktashim, after shechita, they can be treated like chulin. They can be put in the shuk. Alma came into Sharitle, Tafi Vizovin. Since it's already mutar, because you redeemed it, you shefted it, we allow you to do whatever garners the highest price. So garnering the highest price here could mean doing it in the shuk, shefting the shuk, weighing it on the regular scales. Also could mean margilin. It also mean flaying it in such a manner that you get a higher price for the hide that comes off this animal. That's also a way to garner a higher price for this. So why wouldn't we allow it in that case? So Rav Mari berate the Rav Kahana, mashi mashbiach bor pogim b'basar. So we've seen this answer given before, which is that there is a trade-off here. The more careful you are about taking off the hide or flaying the hide in one piece, the more likely you are to scrape off basar along with the hide, because it's more important to you to preserve the hide than it is the basar. So if it comes to a risk between cutting the hide or cutting the basar, you're going to cut the basar, because that's not going to lose you this hide that you're cutting off to make it into a flask or into a bellow. On the other hand, if you want the basar more than the hide, then you're going to cut the hide in such a way where the basar gets the benefit, and you'd rather cut into the hide than into the basar. So what he's pointing out is that there's a trade-off here. If we allow you to do this process of flaying the animal in this manner, yes, you'll get a higher price for the skins, for the hides, but you're going to get a lower price of the basar because you're going to lose a bunch of the basar, ruin the basar in the way you cut it to preserve the hides. And vice versa. If we let you worry about the meat, you're going to garner a higher price for the meat than you are for the ore. But in the end, it's on a net basis, you don't benefit from doing the margilin, because whatever you gain from the extra price that you get for the hide, you're going to lose in the basar. And therefore, we're not going to allow such a thing to be done. But in the end, it's not clear why exactly it is that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is matir, you're selling it in the shuk versus doing the margilin. And in the end, you have to say that it's a much higher type of bizayon to do margilin, or it looks more like you're doing avodah v'kodushim when you do margilin than it is shechting, selling, and weighing it in the shuk. And therefore, even though that might be a slight bizayon kodushim, and despite the fact that it's kedusha, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, nevertheless, the chachamim allowed it in order to garner a higher price. But to go as far as margilin, they wouldn't allow, both because it doesn't garner you any more money, but in addition to not gaining you any more money, it's also something that is a much more significant type of uvdin dechol bizayon kodoshim. Now, the next two answers that the Gemara gives as alternatives, here in the Gemara, it sounds like these are answers for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. In the Gemara in Bechorot, Rashi claims that according to these answers, then we could say the authorship of the Braita is no longer Beit Shammai and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, but rather the reason that you're not allowed to be margilin, both in Bechor and Psulei Mukdashim, is for the following reasons. Looks like you're doing work with Kodoshim. As Rashi says of here, Abu Dhabi Mavash Vadai Lohavi. This is certainly not real Abu Dhabi Kodoshim because it's dead. There's no such thing as Abu Dhabi Kodoshim. Looks like you're doing work with the Kodoshim. Even though it's now dead, looks like you're doing work with it, and that's why we don't allow you to do it. Because maybe you'll bring up flocks and flocks of them. If we allow you to flay the animal in that way, then you're going to preserve the animal as long as possible till you can find someone who wants to buy it to flay it in that manner. Because in that way you'll fetch the highest price for the animal. And that way you're going to keep around Psula Mukdashim until you find somebody who's looking for such a bellow or someone's looking for such a flask. And that means you're going to keep them around and keep them around. And then you have a problem of takala, which is then you're at risk for problems of giza and avoda. So we'd prefer that you don't do this, margilin, because that might cause you to keep the animals around, which could cause takala. So we say, in order to prevent that, no margilin. And according to that version of Rashi, also in Bechor. Even though we would allow you to sell it in the shuk, and we would allow you to sheft it in the shuk and weigh it on scales, because over there, there's no tarrying in monetizing the animal. It just facilitates a higher price to be garnered, but does not cause other problems. Over here, even if we let you do this and garner a higher price, it just comes at a hefty price of allowing you to keep it around in order to monetize it in that manner. And that brings up a huge risk of giza b'avodah. And with that, we finish the fourth perek, Hadran Alach, Vlad Chatat. Right now we begin the fifth perek, and we've quoted this Mishnah before, the back on Daf Hey, because we dealt with it with regards to a Bechor. Ketzed marimim ala Bechor. How do you get around the problem of having a Bechor that is going to have to be given to the Kohen? Mivakeret, if you have an animal that's going to give birth for the first time, Shaitam Uberet, it's now pregnant. Omer, the person who owns the animal says, Masha Mimeha, Shozo, fetus that's in utero of this animal, Imzachar, if it's a male that is born, Ola, it will be an Ola. Yalda Zachar, if that animal gives birth to a Zachar, Yikarev Ola, it's put on the Mizbech as an Ola. And the Ola prevents the Kedushat Bechor from devolving upon the fetus, because in terms of a Bechor, the Kedushat only devolves at the time of Peter Rechem. Here, you're making it into an Ola prior to that. You're saying if it's a Zachar, it's an Ola in utero, and that preempts it ever becoming Kadosh with Dushat Bechor. V'im Nekeva, it says, if it gives birth to a female, or if it is a female in utero, Zivchei Shlamim, it'll be brought as a Shlamim. Yaldai Nekeva, and therefore, if the animal gives birth to a Nekeva, Tikarev Shlamim, it's brought as a Shlamim. Im Zachar Ola, V'im Nekeva, Zivchei Shlamim, if he makes the condition, meaning in both directions, if it's a male, it'll be an Ola, if it's a female, it'll be a Shlamim. And then, this animal that's giving birth for the first time has twins, male and female. Then the Zachar goes to Yola, the Nekeva goes to the Shlamim, because that's what he was noder. If the animal gives birth to two males now, Achad Mehem, one that came out, goes to being an Ola, to fulfill your neder. The other one is sold to other people who need an Ola. V'damav chulin, and the monies then go out to chulin. The reason you have to sell it off is because once something was ra'ui lemizbeach, you can't get it away from the mizbeach. And therefore over here, when it's born, it has to be sold to someone to put on the mizbeach, but the monies that you garner from it are yours to use bechulin. Yadash teine kevot. And similarly, if it gives birth to two females, achat mehem tikarei shlamim, the first one goes on as a shlamim, and the second one, ashniyat, timacher lechavei shlamim. And then the second one is sold to someone who needs a shlamim, v'damav chulin. And the monies that you garner from it are considered chulin. Yalda tumtum androgynos, if the animal that was born has a gender identity problem, whether it can't be seen or it has both genders, shumamir mer ein kedusha chala alehen. No kedusha devolves upon them. This is Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, the shitato, which we'll see in tomorrow's daf. It's not a zakar, it's not an keva, therefore it doesn't qualify to be as nola or a shlamim or a bechor. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, mutar latil mum bebechor, kodem sheitzei le'avir olam. One can put a mum into a bechor before it exits the uterus, because then it is yet to be poter rechem, and so the kedushat bechor does not exist yet, and therefore you have the ability to put a mum in it without it being considered putting mum in kodoshim. It's not. Omer adam, mashveha shel zo ola. Ola, in shlamim lo. Sounds like from our Mishnah, and he says, if it was a zachar, it should be an ola. If it's an ola, it works. But it sounds from there, if it was a shlamim, it would not be sufficiently high enough a level of kedusha to magia the kedushat bechor. It's only because it's an ola that is kalil the mizbeach that it's magia the kedushat bechor. Had you said if it was a zachar it'd be a shlamim, then that wouldn't have been strong enough to be magia midea mizbeach. If that's the case, then there is some sort of kedusha here, and why are you allowed to put a mum in it? And you're telling me that you can put a mum in it to ruin it or take it out of its kedushat bechor, meaning to remove it from being going on the mizbeach. Over there, when you have an ola, it can't remove the bechor from going on the mizbeach, because an ola is even better korban, it's kalil Hashem. But Shlamim, which is not as good a Korban as a Bechor, over there that Kedusha is not sufficient to remove the Kedushat Bechor, and the Bechor overrides, and you have to put on the Mizbech. Over here, we're going to put a mum in it, and it's going to disqualify completely from going on the Mizbech. Why should we allow you to do that? A Shlamim, we can't even let you do, or it doesn't help. Then why is putting a mum in it allowed in this case? Wait, you're confusing yourself. Our Mishnah is a case where the Beit HaMikdash is still extant. So therefore, when it comes out, the proper end game for this animal is to end up on the Mizbeach. If you're Mafkia Midei Mizbeach, that's hugely problematic, because it was going to be a Bechor on the Mizbeach. If you're Mafkia by either making a Shlamim or putting a Mum in it, that's not okay. You can only do it for an Olah, because that's an upgrade. That we allow, but other than that, we're not going to allow it. I am speaking about the Zman Hazeh, where there's no longer going to end up on the Mizbeach. So it's not the Chazil HaKrafa. If you tell me if there's an option between having to give it to the Kohen and have the Kohen sit on it forever until it gets a Mum, we have huge risks of Takala, then I'd rather you put the Mum in it up front and make it that they can be given to the Kohen right away and he can utilize it right away because it's a Bechor Ba'Mum. It says, Ibizman Bezman Hazeh, Ma'ala Memra. If it's Bezman Hazeh, of course you can do it. It can't go on the Mizbeach. So why can't you put the Mum in it? What's the Chashash over here? So Ma'ala Tema Nigzor Dilma Nafik Ro Brosho. Because we're afraid that maybe that robe of the head has exited already, that'd be a deemed birth, a peter rechem, and the animal would already have kedusha on it, b'kashati be'muma. And then you're putting the mum in after it's already kadosh, b'kedushat b'chor. So that would be the fear that we had. So that's why you have to tell us that it's okay to do this, despite that we have this fear. Gemara says, b'mahachanami, why don't we worry about that? That seems like a serious issue, that to get the mum into the animal, it needs to exit partially so you can reach it in order to put the mum in it. Well, as soon as you can reach it, then there's a risk already that the robe of the head has come out. It's already deemed a birth. That's the case. It's peter rechem and has kedushat bechor, and you can't put a mum in it anymore. We discussed before what are the simanim for the rosh coming out. That by the gedi, it's the ears come out first. By the basim, it's the mouth that comes out first. Then for the gedi, you'd put the mum into the ears. For the kemes, you put the mum into the lips, because that way you're certain that you're getting it before the robe came out, because those are the first items of the animal to exit. But why don't we worry about this risk that you came out, Rove Rosho, and now you're putting a mum into a Bechor that's Kadosh? It says, Apil Hachi Hadifa. Even though that is a risk, this is a better option. The Chasera Medati Beli De Gizav Avoda. It's better to put a mum in it and have this risk that maybe Rove is out, maybe Rove is not out. We assume in most cases people will be able to put the mum in before the Rove's out. There is a risk that they make a mistake or they do it too late and it already is Rove outside. But that is a lower risk, or we're willing to undertake that risk, rather than have it sit around forever, waiting for it to get a mum, and then risk the problems of Giza and Avoda in the interim, or we've seen before in the beginning of Gershon, the possibility that you treat it like Chulin and you eat it, without it ever getting a mum in it, meaning that the longer the animal stays around, the more risks that are involved with it. So, we'd rather take the risk of Rove Rosho coming out, and maybe you making that mistake, and then putting a mum in it, because we assume that most of the times we get it right before the robe comes out. And that's a better risk to take than worrying about keeping it around and getting the mum later. So we have to trade off which risk are we willing to undertake or underwrite. And the risk that we're willing to take is that you won't do it once Rove Rosho exits, rather than take the risk the coin's got to sit on his animal until it gets the mum in it, and that it won't be a problem Giza, Boda, and eating it by mistake. It says in the Mishnah, if it's a female, then it'll be Zivchei Shlamim. It says, Nekeva mikakacha bebechora. Why is he bothering? The whole point here is to be mafkia midei bechor. So, if you want to be mafkia midei bechor, it makes sense to say, if it's a zachar, it's going to be an olah. Then if it's an olah, you can use that olah for yourself to discharge an obligation you have with regards to an olah. And the kohen won't get it, and it'll be an olah. If it's an akiva, it doesn't have to do shat bechor to it. So why wouldn't you rather just have it be chulin, rather than be maktishit to be a shlamim? So it doesn't make sense to say, ketzed marimim, ala bechor, and then say, oh, if it's a female, it'll be a shlamim. Females aren't subject to kedushat bechor. If that's the case, then what do you need to have this whole tanai be put in place? It says, seifa atyo lebehema dehektesh. Seifa is talking about when it's a behema dehektesh, when it's a regular animal of hektesh, and you are saying now you don't want the fetus to be the same status as the mother, because if the animal is born, it'll have the kedusha of the mother. This assumes that the kedusha of the mother only devolves upon the fetus once it is born. We saw this in Machloket with regards to Kodashim, whether the kedusha devolves b'mei iman, from the time of conception, again, when they're in utero, or is it b'havyatanyeh, when they come to be, exist, when they come to be, That's when they attain their kedusha. So it's clear here that this is according to the one who says b'havyatanya hey. David, the kedusha only happens once the animal is born. That means if you do something while it's in utero, you're preempting that problem. So here you have a animal that's already kadosh, and you don't want it to attain the kedusha of the mother. So now you want it to be a shlamim. So you say that fetus in utero, if it's in a keva, it's going to be a shlamim. Or if it's a zachar, it's going to be an olah. That way you can take it or make it into whatever you want, rather than it attaining the mother's kedusha. And that's what the im the keva is. So that means that the first case in the Mishnah is ketzav marimim ala b'chor, and then we say, oh, im zachar, it's an olah. Then when the Mishnah continues, im nekeva, it's not speaking about a b'chor case anymore. Now it's speaking of regular kodoshim, any other kodoshim. If you don't want the fetus to attain the kedusha of the parent, then you have to do something to preempt that, and you do that by either making the zachar an olah or the nekeva a shlamim. Mar says, wait a minute, what about the next part of the Mishnah? Yalda shnei zacharim gives birth to two zacharim. Amrei ibeima deagdesh, heich deaktish ola, dehader ola. Idach, nabi bigdushate deime. You said in the Mishnah that if you have two zicharim, one of them you bring as an ola, the other one you sell off to somebody who wants to use an ola, and the money is archulin. If you're telling me now that the case in the Mishnah is a case where it's a behema of hekdesh, then the first one that's born will be an ola. The second one that is born will be the same kedusha as its parent, as the mother. What do you mean it goes out to Chulin? Or what do you mean you have to sell it off as an Ola? The first one's an Ola because you declared it an Ola in utero. Okay, Lahadar Ola, you bring it up as an Ola, or Lahavi Ola, it will be an Ola. Idach, the second one, Habibi Kedusha Dime, will then just attain the mother's Kedusha, because now it has a Havaya, it was born, it exists now, takes on the Kedusha of the mother. Why are you selling it off as an Ola and taking the proceeds as Chulin? It says, Seif Atan, the Behema Chulin. That case is the case where the Behema is a Chulin, the mother's Chulin. So the case where the mother is chulin, and you say, well, I want the zachar that comes out to be an ola, and then it gives birth to two zacharim, then only one of them is an ola, because you only made a nether for one of them to be an ola. So now both of them were available to be an ola. One of them in the end you choose to be the ola. That one that you choose goes as an ola. The other one that was ra'oi the mizbeach, can't leave the mizbeach, so you sell it off to someone who uses an ola, but the proceeds are chulin, because it'll be just like the mother. Just like the mother's chulin, so too is the offspring going to be chulin unless you declare otherwise. So in essence, then, you have a Mishnah that is structured as b'chor, hekdesh, chulin. Or basically, chulin, hekdesh, chulin. You have this odd setup of the Mishnah being that way in order to accommodate the different cases here. And as the Balei HaTosfot would suggest over here, the reason that the Gemara doesn't say that the case of nekeva is also by a case of chulin is because of the problem of ketzed marimim. I mean, at the beginning of the Mishnah starts case in Myrim, sounds like you're trying to do something, you're trying to undo or change something. That's true if you then declare it, when it's Hekdesh, you declare the fetus to be a Nekeva, it's a Shlamim. It was Chulin anyway, and you said it was a Nekeva, that's not Myrimim, you're not changing anything, you just made a nether and it has an impact over here. So in order to accommodate the case of Myrimim in the beginning, to apply to the first two cases, I had to explain the first case is a Bechor, which is in essence Chulin, because it's a mother giving birth the first time, and she is chulin. And the second case being hekdesh by the nekeva, because there you're changing something, but not with regards to a bechor, you're doing the hekdesh. And the third case is the case of chulin, and that's why when you monetize the second animal that comes out, the monies are chulin, and they belong to you. The only one more thing to note over here is the Balei HaTosafot bring the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, who says, Romei Radeinu d'hashta nagu olam limkor k'tzat minayim. In order to prevent the problem of Bechor, we don't do any of these things. We don't obviously makdish it as a korban, because we don't bring korbanot anymore. So that's not a good solution. And we don't put a mum in it, which might have been a good solution, but we don't do that. We rather sell off a portion of the mother to a goy. We have a goy be a partner in the Bechor. Kedei lafkiyav lad min ha-Bechorah. In order to take away the Bechor from having kedushat Bechorah, he says you have to make sure to do it in a proper kinyan, because otherwise it will not take effect. It has to be a valid, proper kinyan. And he speaks about either doing a hagbah when it's a behema daka, or a mishicha and kesef with a behema gasol. But you have to do it properly. But then he discusses, first of all, why didn't the Gemara suggest this? And in addition to that, we have the Gemara in Bechorot that said that Rav Mari Bar Rochel did this to mafkia himself in Bechorah, and yet he was punished with losing all of his animals because he was mafkia the animals from the Kohen. So if that's the case, why are we doing that? If that the Gemara criticizes or says that it is a negative and to the point where he, midah connected midah, got punished. He took away from the Kohen, so he lost all of his animals. So he says that you have to say here, there's too many risks here, and basically you're compiling a list of risks, and the best way to go is to sell it to the Obed Kochavim. You have a risk if you don't do anything, which is now you have a problem that's going to have to sit around forever until it gets a moment it. There's risk of Gizan Avoda, there's a risk of people eating it. There are plenty of risks involved in that. We don't want that risk. So we say, make a moment it. Well, that making a moment it also comes with a risk, which is that if you don't do it at the right time, you're going to end up putting a mum into a something that's kudushat bechor, and you'll be actually violating putting a mum into something that's kodoshim. So that also involves a risk in it. It might be a lower risk than keeping it around and having the kohen wait for it to get a mum in it. So we prefer you putting a mum in it to the waiting around. But still, if I have a better option than that, the better option than that is selling it off to the nachri, because that involves no risk to it. And therefore, if I have to choose between the three different options, the option of selling it off to the nachri seems the least risky way to deal with this situation. And even though the Gemara wasn't so happy about it with regards to Mari Barachel, today, where we're going to have to deal with it in one of these three ways, we're going to opt for that way because it is the most efficient and least risky way to deal with it. And that's our practice today in order to be Mafkia Mikdushat Bukhar. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Chavdalat Amud Bet.